Welcome to the Modern MBA podcast with Marie Kerwin and Kristen Rossi. Our mission is to help MBAs coming from, going into, or merely considering more unorthodox career paths. We're a community to find inspiration and share stories.
Today on the Modern MBA, in collaboration with MBAGradSchools.com, we're speaking with Ryan Gray, who after a career in public affairs and communications, decided to move to the Netherlands for a year and pursue an MBA at the Rotterdam School of Management. Post-MBA, he's back in the US and recently launched his own digital marketing company, Gattaca Media. Would you kindly share your name, where you're from, and where you did your MBA?
Yeah, so name is Ryan Gray. I'm from the United States. Utah specifically is where I came before my MBA, and I got my MBA at the Rotterdam School of Management in the Netherlands.
Brilliant. So you have a bachelor's in public relations and communications and have extensive experience in public affairs, communications, and marketing. Would you kindly walk us through your career in more detail?
You bet. Yeah. So how early do you want me to start? When I was a young boy? No, I always start this way where I'm the youngest in my family, two older brothers and an eldest sister. And, you know, typical family stuff, your brothers will beat on you or whatever. And I wasn't really the strong one. So I used my mouth as a way to sort of combat everyone else. And so I learned to talk very quickly and a lot. Loved communications. Thought I wanted to be a broadcaster. That's kind of where I thought I would go. At the high school that I attended, they had a cool broadcasting system where you could actually broadcast the news to all the other students in the class. And, you know, I thought I was, this is before, you know, going viral. I thought I was pretty cool. But, and then I got into university and realized that's kind of not really what I wanted to do. And then I came across public relations. And what I really liked about public relations is, in a nutshell, it's figure out everyone's self-interest and align it. And I love that core concept of public relations because that's, you can really take that with anything. That's sort of the core to be a good salesperson, a good entrepreneur, whatever the situation may be. It's important to think outside yourself and think about others and what they're trying to achieve and then try to get your self-interest to align with theirs. So I love that concept of it. And then as I kind of looked post undergraduate degree, I kind of wasn't loving the typical public relations positions. So I ended up starting working for a startup called bestcompany.com. They were they're an online review site. They essentially review various products and services. And so I started doing business development for them. So essentially a sort of like a sales position, and really fell in love with that. Loved my time there. Worked there for a couple of years. And then I kind of felt I was hitting that ceiling that you'll hear this with every MBA story. There's a certain point where you feel, you know, as I'm looking around the jobs I want to be, you know, at a startup, there's a certain point where they're like, well, you can't take the CEO's job. Like, there's only so far you can go on a lot of these groups. And I wanted to kind of, where am I going to be in 5 to 10 years? And all these positions and things I was interested in, they all had an MBA preferred or, you know, MBA required. And so I was like, what is this MBA thing? So I started kind of researching all of that. And I found that for me, I wanted a special experience. I wanted something different. And in the United States, all the MBAs are the same. They're all 2-year long programs, and you're pretty much stuck with people that are in your same situation. The age is also typically lower. The average age for an MBA in the US, like the students are, they're much younger. And so they lack that experience. And so I didn't really want to sit in a room with a bunch of people that kind of didn't know what they were talking about, which included myself. So I was fortunate enough. I lived in Europe for a few years when I was a kid. I lived in the Netherlands. So I knew about the country. My wife doesn't speak Dutch and neither do I. And I thought, if we're going to do an international MBA, I want to go somewhere where my wife would feel comfortable, speaking English and getting around and everything. And so the Netherlands was at the top of the list. And you probably have more questions specifically about why that school. But yeah, that's what brought me to the Rotterdam School of Management.
So then you kind of touched upon the next question. It was kind of why you decided to pursue an MBA. And more specifically, you know, why the Rotterdam School of Management as opposed to other schools in the Netherlands?
Yeah, you can't hear from my voice, but I'm a boring old white guy. And I wanted a real diverse experience. I wanted something different. I wanted to, you know, feel like a fish out of water as well. And what I liked about the Rotterdam School of Management is it's very international. And don't quote me on this, but I think I'll say it this way. It's one of the most international MBA programs in the world. When I went there, I want to say it was like 99% international. There was one Dutch person. There was like 140 students. And there was only like 11 Americans. So it was really cool to be, oh, and there was like 35 different nationalities. So I mean, at one point it was, you know, one of my groups, and we'll get into this, I'm sure, in the questions, but one of the groups was in Rotterdam School of Management. We had in one of my MBA groups, it was me, a Pakistani, an Indonesian, a Canadian, and a Russian. And they're like, work together. And I love that idea of like being able to just put in a room with people I don't know. Like I got to meet an Iranian. I've never known an Iranian in my life, like actually like speak with and converse. And it was just such a great experience to know that. So that's what I was looking for in MBA is, let's be honest, the classes and things that you'll take, I'm not going to remember the lessons I learned in each of those courses. They were great. They were fantastic. What I'm going to remember is the relationships that I created with the people next to me. In a way, MBA school is kind of like a boot camp, kind of like a military school, in the sense of you get to really bond with the people that are next to you. And so I wanted that experience where my network 20 to 50 years from now is going to be global. Whereas if I went to a typical MBA in my own country, yeah, it would be maybe in different states or different areas, but it would remain pretty much sort of the same. Whereas mine, I mean, most of the people I know from that school, they're not from my country. And so I get to have this kind of wide range experience. So that was key to me is finding a school that would give me a really international experience and really widen my perspective of what it's like to, you know, be a business person in the world.
So you chose to study in Europe, and I, as an American, also decided to study in the UK. And then you always kind of look back at the different decisions you've made. And my friends who have done an MBA in the States, it's, I think, less international, but one of the things is really well connected within companies in the States. Like when I look at the MBA programs in the States, they're so connected to outcome of job, or it seems so. How did you find companies received you when you were applying in the States coming from a school outside of the US?
Excellent question. I get this quite a lot. So I will preface that I am a network junkie. I spend way too much time on LinkedIn, and I feel that there's really the spectrum of how much you spent on your MBA networking versus getting great grades and good scores. I was on the extreme where getting good scores was not my priority. I mean, I did fine, but mine was on the actual networking side. And so I spent a lot of time conversing. And what I found, because that's a question a lot of Americans specifically will message me and say, oh, look, I saw you went to Rotterdam School of Management, but what happens if eventually I want to come back? Like they're always that question you're asking, which is kind of like the worrying, like how am I going to be perceived? Because I won't have that same connection with the local university in that town. And I actually found it was actually a big win for me because you seem exotic. It's a big conversation starter. Every time I've told them where I am or where I studied, they always go, now, wait a minute, like, okay, interesting. I want to know more. And everything in the interview process is about standing out and being unique. And that's a really easy tool that I can pull out, which is that's what makes me unique. I'm not like everybody else. And then the last thing we have to remember, it's hard when we're searching for jobs, we're constantly putting ourselves in our perspective and sort of making ourselves seem small in the interview. But we have to remember, people are interviewing, these businesses are interviewing to find a great candidate. And businesses are going more and more international than ever before. You know, gone are the days of the 1960s and 70s when you work for the same company, it's in the old country. If you're not an international company, you're not going to make it. And so when they think, I need to hire someone who's going to perform a task, they're going to have to work with a team from multiple countries. There's different cultures there. There's different ways to communicate. And if I want to hire someone, do I want to hire someone from the university down the road who's sort of cookie cutter, the same as everybody else? Or do I want to hire Ryan who he's not just hypothetical. He's worked with someone from China. He's worked with someone from Pakistan. You know, so I always try to turn those on the other side, which is put yourselves, again, my public relations coming out, in the shoes of that person, and that's your advantage. And if you lean into that, it's actually an advantage to be out of that typical, you know, MBA in the town and then get hired. You're actually seen as a positive.
Cool. So then kind of we've started touching upon it already, but what was, and it is a broad question, but what was your MBA experience like?
I loved it. I think to start, because this is discussion of unusual situations. So the last mathematics course that I took was in high school. I am one that tries to find the least path of resistance when it comes to studying my undergrad, I wanted to get out in the workforce. And so I found a way where, because of some scores in the US, I took some certain tests that I was able to basically test out of math. So I didn't have to take mathematics in undergraduate. So that was very difficult for me. That was the lowest score in the GMAT was my math. I mean, I'm hoping as I'm speaking, some people are nodding their heads being like, yeah, that's me. I don't come from a finance background. I don't understand that side of it. I know that if you put money in the stock market, it's supposed to go well. Like I didn't have that background. So the way that they structured the MBA at RSM, which I really liked, is it's very unusual. It starts in January. Pretty much all the other MBAs, I think there's a few in Europe that do January. Most do the typical, you know, September or August as a start date. So it's the darkest time in the Netherlands. It's a really depressing time to be in the country. So they drop you off. You show up in January, new country, don't know anybody. You have to let go of all the pride that you may have as a person. You know, everyone can relate to this of, you know, in high school or wherever, you know, you had to try to pretend to be the cool person or all those things. They're out the window because you immediately are dropped into the most difficult time. The first term at the MBA is very difficult. They drop you in finance courses, finance, accounting, statistics, very difficult courses. And you're supposed to, and it's a short period of time. And so you really are forced to work with the people next to you. They purposely put a person who's a finance expert in your group. So you're not on your own, but it forces you to rely on people. And they've never admitted this to me, but I think RSM does this purposely because it really focuses you to rely on others and get through it together. So I'm very grateful to, I mean, Rafael, one of the folks in my group, he was very kind and patient with me. He was from Colombia, very patient because I couldn't understand, you know, finance to save my life, but it got me through that. So yeah, it's very difficult at first. And what's really cool with the structure at that school is every term gets easier and easier, and they allow more and more free time for you to network, internships if you want, different events. And so yeah, overall, I loved it. I mean, it really stretched me and taught me that I could go further than I thought possible. You know, that just because I don't have that finance background, you know, I had to tell myself and my fellow students who felt like me, like, we belong here. Like the MBA is looking for diversity of background. Like, they don't want all finance majors, and we do have a purpose and we do have value to bring to the school. And I learned that process going through it. So yeah, I absolutely loved it. We can get into this later as we discuss, but there's a bunch of tips I have for like networking and how to really take advantage of all of it. But overall, like I love that experience of learning from different experiences, learning from my fellow cohorts and pushing myself farther than I thought possible.
That's great. And you are so not alone. So many people we talk to, they say, you know, the accounting and finance, math, statistics side of the MBA, it felt like, you know, a frog or like a being tossing, you know, into a boiling pot of water. It's just like, oh, no. So then after the MBA, you chose to come back to the US and you've started your own digital marketing company, Gattaca Media. How did this come about and what skills in the MBA have helped you?
When I graduated from the MBA program, I really wanted to stay in the Netherlands. It was the initial plan of my wife and I. We moved here with my son, and then my daughter was born during the MBA as well. And we loved the country and wanted to stay. Just a awesome job opportunity we just couldn't turn down back in the United States. So I ended up working for a tech company back in the US. Loved my time there. It was awesome, but I had that itch, that entrepreneurial itch. Wanting to start something. And I always kind of had in the back of my head, but you know, it's very important to start with the idea and not just the desire. And I was talking with some old friends of mine that I used to do some business with and really realized that we had an idea to really start a marketing agency. So many businesses need help running their advertising online. That's the problem with any sort of business that's selling a product or service. They're really good at their product or service, and they're typically really like, that their expertise is not running advertisements. So it frustrates them to say, okay, I focus 90% of my time on my product or service, and I'm really good at giving what my customers want, but then I got to figure out how to run Facebook ads. Like, I don't want to do that. And they don't have the, you know, the revenue stream to hire their own internal team. It doesn't make sense. You know, they're not a big company. So that's where they look to agencies, and that's where we kind of stand out differently, is we're small by design. It's just me and these two buddies of mine who run Gattaca Media. And we purposely keep it small to ensure we don't run into the problem, which is you grow too big and then you're not really delivering. You're just kind of there. And so we always want to be in the accounts. Like, there's no account managers. It's us running those accounts for our partners. And so, yeah, in January of this year, in the middle of a pandemic, which seems kind of crazy, we started our marketing company. And the nice thing about a marketing business is you're pretty much, you know, knock on wood, profitable out the gate, just because of the way that marketing companies work. They pay you flat fees. So as long as you have the clients, you're making money. And so that's a big advice of mine too, for people that start businesses, is whatever you end up doing, be sure that you're making money as fast as possible. We sort of glamorize this, you know, cool startup, and I got all this investment, and we're going to be a unicorn. And like, that's not real life. And that's very rare that happens. Like I always tell people, they're surprised. The average age of a successful entrepreneur is 45. So everyone who thinks it's Mark Zuckerberg sitting there with a hoodie at age 20, like that's the exception, not the rule. And it, hopefully that helped me. Hopefully that inspires people to realize, like, it's never too late. If you're 35, if you're 40, it doesn't matter. Like, starting a business later is actually better because you have all the experience. Like, I've worked for various companies for the last 10 years. I've seen what I like, what I don't like. I've seen what's successful, what isn't. And so you bring that knowledge to the table and it makes you much more successful. Whereas if you kind of started when you didn't really work anywhere else, how do you know what's worked and what hasn't? So that's been a lot of fun. We've been running for 3 months now. Knock on wood, we've been profitable. The lights have been able to stay on. My wife, you know, hasn't made me sleep on the couch, so she's happy as well. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I thoroughly enjoy it. I never want to work for anybody else again. It turns out I'm a pretty cool boss to myself. You know, the MBA didn't help in, let's say, specifics. Like, it didn't say, like, here's how to start a business, here's how to sign up. I think those everyone can Google. And my recommendation too is find some entrepreneurs that have done it before. It's good to have those mentors to help you, whether it's, you know, locally, they can tell you about taxes and just the stuff that usually turns people off from starting a business. They can get over those hurdles for you. But the MBA definitely, it teaches a lot. It's the bootcamp lifestyle. It teaches you how to pivot. It gets you tons of connections. I've been able to get clients based on my connections. And so it really broadens your network that way. And just the courses, it really helps teach you out of your comfort zone, putting you learning stuff you didn't know before. You know, it came to finance, that came really, really helpful when running a business. It just teaches you to push yourself more than you thought was possible. And I think that's key to it, is doing something that's uncomfortable. So I think it widened my network to be able to help with the support. I've gotten a ton of support and help from people from that network, and also taught me that the impossible is possible. And so I think if you're going into an MBA thinking, I'm going to learn a very particular skill, if that's your goal, I would say it's better to take some sort of online course or something to teach you that one skill. To me, the MBA is really more about the relationships, about pushing yourself mentally and yeah, getting out of your comfort zone. Because I think, yeah, like I've mentioned before, like 15 years from now, I may not understand everything I learned in my economics class, but I remember the muscle, the feeling of pushing myself further, learning something new, and then sharing those relationships that bonded me with the people next to me. Those you can't buy in an online course, you know, some sort of practice lesson thing. And that, I think that's key to the MBA, is it teaches you those things that I've definitely applied, you know, as an entrepreneur these last 3 months.
So if someone in the UK wants to get in touch with you, or in Europe, how would they find your website, or how would they get in touch with you?
Yeah. I mean, it's gattacamedia.com, but I think the best way is, like I said, I spend way too much time on LinkedIn. Happy to connect. My only advice, and this is just networking help, I say this all the time, people don't follow it, just write a message when you connect. Be aware that the app, the mobile app, is a little tricky. Sometimes you try to connect with someone on mobile and it doesn't let you write the message.
Nope. I hate that.
It's awful. It is terrible. So, I mean, I have an Android, so I don't know if it's for everyone, but it is for me and it's terrible. So do it on a desktop or something, but write a message with it, because the problem is, this is terrible, but the minute you become an entrepreneur, you get bombarded with random people that just try to connect with you. I'm assuming trying to sell me stuff. So I've made it a general rule that I do not connect with anybody if they don't write a personal message. But yeah, I'm always happy to talk with people. Those are the most important for me, is relationships. That's why I went into entrepreneurship. That's why I did the MBA. It's about human connection. So I've done multiple video calls with people I've never met before, and they just have random questions about whatever. I'm happy to make those calls. Those are worth my time, because that's why I'm in it, is I'm in it, you know, in the business world to make those those connections.
It's been really interesting hearing your story about your business and how those ideas kind of came about. What would you say has been like the hardest or the most challenging thing about that journey?
When things go bad, you can't blame it on your boss. You know, the idea being that like it really the buck stops with you. It's a weird feeling that I've had in doses, you know, as you if you've had an opportunity to manage a team or manage a project, you know, there is sort of a buck stops with you feeling. But it is a out of body experience to be there and know there's no one else to turn to, you know, above you. It's you. You've got to solve that problem. And so it's the same sort of thing with the MBA. And this is kind of tying back into how it's helped is when problems arise, it's remember the formula, the process, and apply the process. When something traumatic happens or difficult, it's important to prep yourself. I think like, for example, flight attendants and pilots and things, they practice that emergency landing procedure. So when it hits, muscle memory kicks in. And if you don't have those muscle memory, those experiences, those practices, when that kicks in, then there's panic and there's no hope. And so what's been nice is myself and my co-founders, we have that muscle memory of when something goes wrong, what do? We prepare for those situations beforehand. And marketing, you experience things all the time. I just had a phone call with our co-founders. One of our clients, just for whatever reason, Facebook is a terrible marketing platform. Everything always goes wrong on it. And they were having a lower return on ad spend. And so it's sort of a banging our heads together and trying to solve that problem. So yeah, things go wrong a lot. And it's just prepping yourself with that muscle memory to know that everything's going to be okay in the future. Like it's the mind over matter, the mindfulness, like be aware of your bad situation. And also know like things get better. I remain a very positive person. I know there's a lot of fear, you know, rise of cryptocurrency and, you know, with COVID and all this politics and all that. I think drown that stuff out. That's probably the biggest advice in entrepreneurship is stop listening to politics, stop listening to all that stuff that's just geared to make you feel terrible and know that it's going to get better and know that you have the tools in front of you through you and your support network, you know, ask for help. You can get through those problems and life it always gets better.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. And I especially like the sort of muscle memory concept, just sort of having that within you when it comes to a really stressful situation. And so where do you go from here? What are you kind of your plans for the future and your next steps?
Where do I go from here? So with Gattaca Media in general, we just want to continue to do things that are going to provide value. I mean, and be flexible. The pivot is like a classic for any startup. I don't know what our company looks like 5 years from now. Is it still just a marketing company? Is it something else? But I think the core of what we want to do is we always want to do something that provides value and helps others. A random example of something that's not monetary is, speaking of my MBA, is RSM, is I'm talking with them to do some sort of network get together with alumni in the Americas. And then we would do some sort of just networking event once a month on video. That's the great thing about COVID. This is a side, but if you were ever worried about networking, it is more easier than ever to network with people and talk to people. You no longer have to meet them somewhere in a cafe and spend all the money on travel. You can literally just do a video call and everyone is used to that and comfortable. Just a side note, it's a great advice. Like now more than ever, look at COVID as a positive in the sense that it's provided this ability to have quick chats with people. Like we would have, like, I don't know, like obviously we could have done this podcast beforehand, but you probably wouldn't get as many people on your podcast because they're not as familiar with the video format as they are now. And so, you know, just one positive from it. But yeah, I think all of it is just looking to continue to provide value, being comfortable with the pivot, understanding that muscle memory, and then just growing from there. I mean, maybe 5 years from now, we're this marketing company that's huge, or we continue to be this niche that provides this specific help for these clients. I'm happy with all of it. As long as I can provide value, it's what I want to do.
And so finally, what would be your advice to marketing and communications professionals who are considering maybe doing an MBA? And also, what do you think, you've talked a lot about networking during the podcast, what would be your networking recommendations?
Yeah, so these kind of go hand in hand. If you're in the marketing world, you're thinking about an MBA, it's important to understand what your goals are. MBA is not for everyone. And it really depends on what you're looking for. If your emphasis was, I want to get more of an international experience, I want to stand out more in the workforce, I want to broaden my network, learn from others and really use the MBA as an opportunity just to absorb as much as possible, then yeah, I think it's a great opportunity because, for example, you know, there was over 140 students in my year. I got to experience 139 different careers and cultures. It was just a wonderful experience because, you know, like any MBA class, you're going to be talking about, you know, what it's like, you know, has anyone had to try to fire someone before? You know, laying someone off is a difficult thing. And the cool thing about my experience is I got to hear what it's like in different cultures and different countries and learn from them of things that worked and didn't work. And so if you kind of come with that mindset of an MBA is going to be an opportunity for me to be a sponge and just learn as much as possible with the people next to me and then apply those to my own career, then yes, I think an MBA is a great idea because it'll build your network. It'll broaden your horizons. If your goal is more like I want to learn a certain concept, I would say don't waste your time. I would say YouTube or some sort of online, you know, those many sites out there that teach you different courses, that would probably be the best way to do it. But if you really are looking for a good, solid network opportunity and learn from others, yeah, I would say MBA is definitely worth it. In terms of advice on networking, how much time do you have? The core of it is, what I'll tell you what I did, and then, you know, feel free to take what you want from that. But when I joined the RSM MBA, the problem when you join the MBA is you feel like you're worthless to the workforce. You don't have a job. You're currently full-time studying. What kind of value can you provide to the, you know, business market? And I really, that bothered me, that thought process. And I really thought hard of what kind of value can I provide? And what's funny is you're already doing some of that already with this podcast is the value you provide is people want to know what it's like to be in an MBA. They want to know, like, people in the workforce were in your shoes. You know, they were sitting there thinking, what's it like? And so then I started realizing, like, oh, I'm a hub for information for people, like an opportunity for someone to learn from us. And when I made that shift, then the creative wheel started spinning. And so I actually ended up interviewing every single one of my cohorts and then doing a quick one-minute video. And on that video, I'd ask them where they're from, something they like about the program, something they don't, something unique about them. And so it's this quick 1-minute video and I would post it every day on LinkedIn. I started about halfway through it. It got a little crazy. I wouldn't recommend doing it the way that I did because it took up a lot of time, as you can imagine. But it was cool because, one, it got to push my cohorts that maybe were more uncomfortable on LinkedIn to use it. And it got their word out and their network to kind of learn who they were, get some interest there. I mean, I don't know if a job came from it, but I'd like to think that it at least helped push some of these people in the right direction. It got also me to get to know everybody. Like I've had at least one interaction with each of the 140 cohorts. Now that's not possible in some MBAs. It's much larger, but yeah, that was a big advice is I would say, especially in the MBA, find a way to change your mindset that you're actually worth something. You have value to the market and find a way to present that value because it will build your network. And I found what's interesting, even from people that I knew before the MBA, even one said like there was a newfound respect for what I had done, which was, you know, I moved to a foreign country. And so they really saw me in a different light. And so even past networks or future networks, it's a great way to build that. And so I would say start small, be consistent and find a way to know that you do have value on the market and you aren't like, you're not a leech on the system. The business market actually wants what you have and they desperately want more of it.
That's all for today's Modern MBA podcast. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Marie. If you like this episode, remember to hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can get access to articles and more great content by visiting our website, themodernmba.co.uk, or you can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. Until next time, bye.
Bye.